above, showing the tents and baskets and piled supplies in stark detail.
"Rukia!"
Niraj cried, sliding into view and skidding to a stop in the mud just outside the opening. He danced around, turning circles, clearly overwhelmed as he surveyed the scene.
"Kavita!"
Katibri waved her arms, dissipating the streams of magical blue energy as Niraj stumbled in, scrambling past the Netherese bodies, half running, half diving to get to his daughter and wife. Other Desai appeared outside, rushing around the corners of nearby tents. Katibri wasn't sure what to do. How could she begin to explain this scene before her? What might the tribal elders think, and what danger would she be creating for them all, given her secret identity? All of those questions swirled around in her thoughts, slamming at her sensibilities, demanding immediate action. The woman kept her wits and used her decades of experience, forcing herself to remember the primary question: what would a 5-year-old girl do? She began to wail. Niraj wrapped her in a hug, but pulled her down with him as he fell over Kavita. The woman stirred as he touched her.
"Assassins," she whispered.
"What happened, my Kavita?"
Other members of the tribe milled around the destroyed entryway, shaking their heads and mumbling.
"Girl, what is this?"
one man called to Rukia. He picked up a smoking boot, staring incredulously.
"They hurt Ma,"
the child blurted. Between sniffles, she continued.
"They wanted gold. They said they would hurt me if I didn't get it."
"What gold?"
Niraj asked. And he helped Kavita turn over, the woman groaning and dropping a hand over her bloody wound. Bloody, Niraj noted, but not bleeding. Rukia shrugged and began to cry again.
"The thunder hit them,"
she said innocently, pointing to the sky and wearing an expression to show that she did not understand.
"The blessing of the storm is twofold this night,"
remarked one of the women outside.
"Netherese,"
a man inspecting the smaller body said.
"Netherese thieves."
"Nasir, take them then,"
declared another, referring to the merciless god of the dead.
"He laughs with Atar in their coupling,"
a woman said.
"Or perhaps he was sated enough for this one moment to take the time to kill these dogs."
Kavita sat up then, although Niraj tried to keep her still. The gentle Bedouin woman stared at her daughter intently. "What is it?" Niraj whispered to her, but she hushed him and shook her head. She brought her hand down her back to the wound and continued to simply stare at Rukia, and more particularly at her little hands, Katibri realized, for they were covered in Kavita's blood from when she had healed the wound. She brought them down to her side sheepishly and cried all the louder.
"Search the camp," one large man ordered. "There may be other assassins about."
Katibri had to sort it all out quickly, she knew, for the questions would only grow about what had actually happened, particularly when Kavita's wound was more carefully inspected. The little girl put her head against Niraj's shoulder and very close to Kavita's face.
"I will explain everything when we are alone," she said,
in a somber tone no girl her age would ever use, and her parents stared at her all the more incredulously and wide-eyed then. Niraj grabbed her hard at the elbow.
"Rukia, what do you know?"
Katibri looked at him with sympathy, fully aware that she was about to shatter his conceptions of the world around him, and worse, those conceptions that he held for his beloved family.
"Good fortune saved us,"
she whispered to Niraj, and motioned behind him, for the chieftain of the Desai was approaching. She repeated more loudly and with great emphasis,
"Good fortune."
She went back to her mother's embrace as Niraj turned to talk to the man. Niraj was truly shaken, but he relayed Rukia's explanation, offered with the weight of a magical suggestion behind it that good fortune alone had saved his wife and child. The chieftain looked around, shaking his head.
"Are you well, Kavita?"
he asked. And the woman nodded and climbed shakily to her feet.
A twice-blessed storm, then,
the chieftain said, and he went outside to join in the scouring of the encampment. In the ensuing hours, many came to help Niraj repair and clean the tent. Many more came with salves and herbs to the aid of Kavita and to Rukia, offering calming words and assurances. The storm, magically conjured, though only Rukia knew that, had long blown away, and the night had passed its midpoint before the family was at last left alone. Niraj and Kavita stared at their little girl.
"Rukia?"
Niraj asked her repeatedly. Catibri considered whether she should dispel him of that moniker, but decided against it. Not now. She had her own nagging questions to deal with, after all, concerning the unexpected arrival of these Netherese. The assassins had come looking for her in particular, so it seemed obvious that they had learned at least part of the truth of her. But how? And why would they care?
"She healed me," Kavita said. "My wound. It was mortal."
"No, you were lucky," Niraj replied. "The sword did not bite deeply."
"It did,"
Kavita insisted, and she looked at Rukia, directing Niraj to do likewise.
"From back to belly, and I felt my spirit departing. The wound was mortal, but then I felt the healing warmth." "The gift of Mieliki,"
their child told them.
"You healed her?"
Niraj asked, and Catibri nodded.
"The lightning strike was no accident,"
the child admitted. Niraj and Kavita sat across from her, staring, unblinking. The young girl pulled up her sleeves.
"The stars of Mistra, the horn of Mieliki,"
she explained.
"I am twice scarred, but this you knew."
Niraj swallowed hard. Kavita began to cry.
"Who are you?"
her father asked, and surely those words, that desperate tone, stabbed at Catibri's heart.
"I am Rukia, your daughter," she answered.
"Mieliki,"
the tribesman asked, shaking his head helplessly.
"The Bedin did not worship Mieliki. Their goddess was Atar the Merciless, the yellow goddess of the scorching desert sun."
"I do not understand."
"I was born on the spring equinox, Mieliki's most holy day,"
the child explained.
"The goddess blesses me and teaches